The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mark Cuban's life story is like a capitalist fairy tale. A working-class kid from Pittsburgh gets into technology early, and he becomes a prolific investor, a billionaire, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and then one of the hosts of ABC's Shark Tank.
When I was starting, AudioNet was turned into the streaming industry, basically. I had people coming to me, throwing money at me. We had zero in sales, nothing. Not one person understood what we were doing.
Yeah.
They just knew based off of what we were showing.
But Mark Cuban's politics have been veering in an unusual direction for a billionaire. He recently tweeted that the government should hire millions of unemployed people to assist with COVID recovery. And he also tweeted this: now is the time to train or pay stay-at-home parents and caregivers as well. Ideas that might have come from Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Our business correspondent Sheila Kolhatkar talked to Mark Cuban earlier this month.
You've been advocating recently for things like a much higher federal minimum wage and payments to individual workers from the government, putting health of workers ahead of profits, which is a somewhat radical notion in some circles.
You know, the number one thing that I've been trying to push is a transitional federal jobs program. Mm-hmm. In order for the economy to come back and in order for people to feel a little bit more confident about their lives, there are going to have to be more jobs. I mean, we've lost 30 plus million jobs. We have another 20 million people who are underemployed. So there's 50 million people who are on precarious work positions. What I proposed is that we look at the things that we need as a society and as an economy and start hiring people for those jobs. And I'll give you the examples. We need tracking and tracing. That's a given. And testing. Why not hire 2, 3, 4 million people, whatever the number is, train them, you know, within all the HIPAA regulations and privacy requirements to be healthcare workers that can implement tracking and tracing and also testing for that matter. Pay them, you know, at least $30,000 a year plus benefits. Now you have that number of people who are confident that they have jobs and are willing to become consumers.
Would you have ever thought that you'd be advocating for a big expansion of the federal government prior to this pandemic?
Hell no.
That was a very quick answer.
Yeah, hell no. No, absolutely not. But these are unique circumstances, unfortunately.
So what happened? When did you start to realize this was different from other kinds of economic crises?
Yeah, I mean, because it happened so quickly, it was so compressed. We've never had a scenario where business was just shut down, you know, across the country for the most part. And so when you get this compression, you can't go back to the old dogmatic ways and say, this is the way it worked before, because there was no before that's applicable. And so there's not a Republican way, you know, trickle down doesn't work. And even a Democratic way of just random spending and just, you know, find ways to spend money and inject it into the economy, that won't work either. You need to create, in my mind, a scenario where you create jobs that people have confidence they'll be able to retain. All those companies who are able to borrow money, whether big or small, if there's nobody buying their products or services, they won't survive. So this has to be a bottom-up solution, not a top-down or trickle-down solution.
Some of these ideas just sound almost progressive to me. Has that something you've struggled with at all? I mean, Have you thought about?
No, look, I'm independent. I could care less about how it's categorized or labeled. You don't care at all. We literally are, you know, in my opinion, going from America 1.0 to trying to figure out what America 2.0 is going to look like. Progressive, you know, dogmatic perspectives are out the window. Conservative dogmatic perspectives are out the window. There are no rules that work. We have to solve a problem. There are people's lives on the line.
I'm curious to know, how would you rate the Trump administration's response so far in terms of their economic policy actions? Has the CARES Act done what it was supposed to do?
No, but it wasn't because of the plan. It was because of the execution. And so the plan itself was great. The PPP program effectively was to try to get money into businesses' hands so that they can retain their employees immediately. The word immediately means everything. The fact that it took so long to get money into companies' hands and then by proxy into employees' hands, that's created a different set of challenges. And that's been the problem.
It does seem to me that the federal money that was earmarked for these different sort of bailout programs, you had the PPP program, these sort of loans that turn into grants, then you had the different piles of money going to the Federal Reserve to go to larger companies. What do you make of the fact that the restrictions on those different piles of money seem to be so different? I mean, it does seem to be that the smaller you are, there are a lot of restrictions, a lot of hoops you have to jump through. And the largest companies have the fewest restrictions. There's nothing to prevent them from using money they get through the Fed buying their debt to do stock buybacks, even as they're laying people off. You know, what do you make of that?
It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Any money that goes to a big public company, there should be a reward for taxpayers for loaning it to them. If we had given $25 billion to Boeing, taxpayers should have gotten warrants. They should have gotten options. They should have gotten preferred distributions. That has to take place with any monies going to bigger companies, period, end of story. And on top of that, if there's anything that's given to executives in that company on a pari passu basis, it should be given to employees. So if just to pick numbers out of the air, if the CEO makes $1 million a year and is given $1 million in warrants, options, or stock repricing, then there should the same amount of grants and opportunities should be given to the lowest end worker for 100% of their earnings. This truly should be capitalism at its best, coming up with solutions to very severe problems with the reward not necessarily going into an individual's pocket, but going into the taxpayer's pocket.
I mean, these are very appealing ideas and they make a lot of sense. But again, it's a very heavy involvement of the government. And you're almost suggesting a situation where the government is telling companies who gets paid what. And I could imagine the corporate world being very resistant to being told how much they can pay. They want to pay CEOs whatever they want, and they want to pay workers.
It's crazy how it works, right? When business is good, all CEOs are capitalists. When business is bad, all CEOs are socialists, right? They want as much as they can get for as little as possible. Uh-huh. But somebody's got to put the capitalist hat on and negotiate for the taxpayers like they would for their own company. And that's all I'm talking about.
It's a form of capitalism, but it's different from the traditional understanding of capitalism. Is this sort of a new idea of capitalism that you're thinking about?
I don't look at it that way at all. We haven't had good representation of workers and the economy as a whole by true capitalists, and maybe that turns some people off or rubs people the wrong way, but just about doing what's right. And to me, that's capitalism at its best, maybe with a little added dose of compassion, which I think particularly right now is needed, but is also good business. I mean, if you look at millennials and Generation Z, they only want to buy from people whose ideals they match up with. And those types of points of compassion are good business. And now we just have to apply those same concepts to what we do as a country. The game has changed. We're in a world now where if the people that we live next to, the people that we pass in the streets, the people in our communities aren't doing well, then all business fails. If people can't afford to buy anything but the basics, or maybe not even the basics, all businesses of all sizes fail. And I think people are starting to recognize now that if we don't lift up from the bottom, there won't be consumer demand because this all happened so quickly.
Investor and Dallas Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban. He spoke with our business correspondent, Sheila Kulhatkar. Now, Sheila, Mark Cuban said to you that progressive orthodoxy and conservative orthodoxy are now out the window because of the pandemic. But is anything he just told us not, in fact, progressive orthodoxy?
I think if you were to put the question to him, he would say, well, my ideas are very focused on job preservation and job creation. A traditional sort of democratic socialist politician might be more focused on giving money to people, giving social services, social supports and programs to people rather than focusing on the job element. But I thought it was interesting that a lot of the things that Mark Cuban says that he's for right now in terms of addressing the problem and giving people more money to get through this are not happening because the Republicans in Congress don't want them to happen. And in many cases, the Republicans are actively blocking these things from happening. The idea of extending unemployment benefits, considering sending more cash aid to families, they're definitely opposed to that idea. They think it will create a disincentive to working, which is their longstanding argument.
Sheila, is Mark Cuban alone on this hill? Are there other business leaders saying similar things?
There are. You've even seen the CEO of JPMorgan Chase say recently, you know, we need to take this as an opportunity to rethink capitalism. I've personally spoken to Wall Street executives. I think a lot of people, even conservative Wall Street executives, recognize the uniqueness of this situation. And a number of people have expressed to me privately, listen, you've got to give people money to get through this or there's going to be an uprising. There's going to be tumult. And the government has to help people through that or you're going to have a real problem.
You can find Sheila Kulhatkar's work at newyorker.com.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.